Blog Talk Radio.
All right, December 4th, 2022. Getting close to Christmas time again. Get your wallet out. Yeah. I don't really want much for Christmas. You guys, you know, make up your own mind what you want to get me. Anything would be nice. Thank you very much. When I get you on, if you're not discussing, talking, or whatever, please mute your phone. We're getting a lot of people that are doing things in the background that we can hear. I know you don't think we can, but we can. So, Scott, Jimmy.
It's just senior moments.
That's me. Yeah. 313.
We're just like Santa Claus. We can hear what's going on in the background there.
Right. So you guys take it away. I'll push one on your keypad. We've got a lot of people already. Push one on your keypad. I'll get you on.
Please, push one on your keypad. We would kind of like to have a little more discussion so far as what's going on and the longevity of Solidarity House. Put it that way. Is that a good way to put that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I guess that is a good way to put it. You know, I don't know why none of the candidates will come on here, you know, and then they want to say how terrible this show is. We're just voicing people. That's all we are, is, you know, the membership.
Well, I invited Mr. Curry and Mr. Payne to come on tonight.
Well, let's see if they grew a pair.
Well, I mean, man, you're talking about the presidency of the International Executive Board of the UAW. And right now, whoever's driving the ship, let's put it that way. We'll make him the skipper, the captain. Okay? Whoever's driving this boat. You know, you got to look at what's happening with Case New Holland right now. They're getting pretty screwed over. And somebody from, I don't know who said it, but somebody from Solidarity House, someone, you know, the people who make the little gummy bears, they're hiring at $26 an hour. And it's like, wow. If I remember right, they said something like that to people on strike at General Motors, too, didn't they?
Exactly.
Just go look for another better paying job. Wait a minute. That's in your Articles of Incorporation. I mean, the Articles 2 of the International, of the Constitution, just for better paying jobs, higher wages. Come on now.
Working conditions, shorter work week. There's a lot of things in that Constitution that these guys don't go. What I didn't, you know what? One thing that I'm really going to say from my heart is whoever wins this election and whoever gets sworn in on December 12th, I guess, according to Brother Curry, they're going to be all sworn in on the 12th of December. I don't understand that one either, but they're going to have to produce something. If you've seen what the airline pilots just got, they got a 31% raise as well. Hey, boys, we pay you something, a lot better money, and you can't get us even a 4% for each year of our contract, yet these people are getting 31% raises. So we need to open up. We need to call another convention, and let's take some of their shit away. They got way too greedy, and they think they're entitled. Well, you know what? They're not.
Hey, we got some phone calls. Let me get 313-6801, and if it works, here we go, and 440, and I'm going to get you on now. Got a lot of people I have already put online. If you're not speaking, please mute your phone. Go ahead, guys.
This is Sharon Bell, 313-680-9802.
All right, I'm very proud of you, Miss Bell. You did a fine job.
Yes, you did.
Amen, Sharon.
Everybody, thank you. I will be volunteering and working for this leadership that has won, and I'm not doing anything but supporting this membership. I believe everybody that won so far wants higher wages. They want COLA. I can relax. We got to get our community service together. get this thing together, so if we have to walk out or whatever they decide, if you guys vote, I'm in. We're going to be in the street. Let's do what we do. But we did the right thing. I'm not going back. We said we want COLA. We want money. It is contract time. It is our time to ask for whatever we need. And everybody out there know we coming. So I don't want to hear no excuses. That's all I want to say. Hey, Margaret, you a bad girl. Excuse me yelling at everybody. LaShawn, you my girl. Y'all, I will work for you. I will serve you. I was excited to serve this membership. Thank you all for giving me an opportunity.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for doing what you did.
You're welcome.
Well, you made a showing. That's a good thing. Well, but we got a decision to make here. You know, we got people coming at us now. So you got two to decide for president. You're going to have another runoff for a vice president. And I think one runoff for a regional director. I think.
Oh really? Which one? What number? Nine.
Dan Vicente
for Region 9. Yep. Is George on the line?
So,
George,
you know,
on the line?
I go ahead.
Hold on, we got a phone call. 614. God, okay, 614, you're on.
Hello?
Hey, Scott.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don, it's been a long time since I've called the show. You guys know who this is?
The Marty.
Hello.
I recognize the voice.
Well, I'm not here to disrupt the show or anything.
You're
just
fine.
Just wanted to know if everybody feels like the majority of people that I've been talking with at this point in time, is if unity is one of those things that's going to put some serious change into reform. I mean, the Members United people did win 6 of the 14 seats, and there's one of them that's in a runoff, or at least one or two, I guess. So it seems to me like this is a real Jerry Tucker 2.0 movement that has taken a hold here, and I've called in here and I listened to this show quite a bit, and I'm glad to hear LaShawn comes on. She speaks real well of things. I totally with what she says. I've been back and forth on Facebook quite a bit, and spats with a couple of people, but you know, election time is where you separate people who have a chance to people who talk about having a chance. And then my only thing I'd like to say is that Brian, he's had his chance twice. And I would much rather have at least 10% of the membership voting for an election, you know, instead of the delegate system that we used to have. I'd still take that any day over what we used to have. I think membership turnout should have been a lot higher. You can't change the opinions in a lot of members' minds after years of being complacent and feeling like the union doesn't ever do nothing for them, only sees the bad stuff, sees the good old boy clicks, feels like their vote never counts. I mean, that shows up at every local I've been to, and everybody that I've talked at other locals that I talk to regularly have the same experiences, that the members are just, you know, really tired of what's happened for so long. But now there's obviously a real chance to make a difference. And I know 4.5 years ago, well, June of 2018, Leroy McKnight, Gary Wachowicz, Brian Keller. Those three went to Detroit. Brian went up there, wanted to talk about unifying. This is a time to unify. We got Leroy to get behind him, but he didn't get Gary. And not that, you know, under those circumstances, 4.5 years ago was going to make any change. I didn't expect to ever win. I just wanted to go up there and extend my middle finger at that crew up there and tell them that sooner or later they're going to get caught. Sooner or later, there'll be one member, one vote. And sooner or later, you know, they'll eventually be done. Well, I've seen the majority of that happen in my lifetime, which I feel good about. I didn't think that for a long time that I'd ever see it. But it's just, it's happening today. I mean, at the present time and early next year, we should be getting ballots again. And then come, I don't know, February, March, should have a pretty good idea who's going to actually fill that slot up there. And, you know, it is really time to unify. And I'd really like to think that the candidate that's been on this show, that's been using this as a real platform to send his message, could actually practice what he's preached 4.5 years ago about unifying. The two candidates that finished above Brian both finished with about three times as many votes as Brian. I'm not saying Brian didn't earn his votes. I mean, I think Brian got more votes than I actually thought he'd get. But that's neither here nor there. But Brian has the capability right now of making the difference if he just practiced what he preached. And I know that we've all heard him say these things about unifying being so important, you know, and it is.
Yeah.
And it's Brian's time right now to actually to do that. I mean,
don't
it takes some integrity.
Don't you think Brian knows that? Don't you think Brian, if he thinks the candidate deserves it, he'll do it? I don't know who deserves it yet. Do you? Apparently you do.
I've made my pick, Don. I did.
Good.
I supported Sean Fain, you know, because he ran on his plate more than anything. He had people to run with, and they went out and they visited places and stuff. They did it on their time. They worked hard. They came together. They had a unifying message.
Yeah.
And they're winning. And here's the thing: if we don't get something new up there, we're going to go back to Curry and his same old stuff, and we're going to lose the one member, one vote that we got now. I mean, and if we lose that after we just got it, it's going to be gone forever.
Yeah. I don't think anybody on this show right now wants Curry.
I know a couple things about him. It is disheartening that only 10% of the membership voted. However, these 10% are avidly looking at all the conditions as they, you know, they pay attention. You know, they're watching every step of the way what's going on. So these people vote. It's kind of like with, I don't really want to get into government politics, but generally it's the people that are older that do the most of the voting. I'm not saying young people don't vote. It depends on if there's a hot topic or not. So the 10% are people that have intently been watching what's going on. When you push people to vote that would not have voted otherwise, they will vote for trivial reasons, or you know, it could be several different things, social issues, and it has nothing to do with the content of the character of the candidate.
Well, the people voted. There were a lot of return ballots, and people didn't understand about, they didn't, the local levels didn't get the information out. Because we had a lot of return ballots with no return addresses. It was challenged. And we went through what did they do about it. So it wasn't that people didn't vote. It was really poor communication as well. It was a combination of things. And so I just want to make sure you guys know that. I was there.
Okay? Sharon. Yeah. Can I ask you, do you know approximately how many ballots were returned to sender?
Well, it was a ridiculous amount.
Okay.
They never could give us a number, but you could go up in the 10,000 possibly.
Okay.
Did you talk to George about that?
Yes.
He has the answer. I was with he has the answer.
He said he asked a question, and they would not give him an answer.
Well, he wasn't the only one. That was definitely there. It could have been challenged, but I figured George would. I decided today for those things. There were many flaws.
Okay.
Many flaws. And that was one of the major ones, and I just can't. I would like to say the membership didn't vote, but it was many reasons. The membership voted more so than you know. It was the system, and a lot of things from your local should have been done. And we talked about all of it. And yeah, I was there at every level.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every level.
Yeah. I want to take a second out to thank Brian's team for working their butt off, and they really did a fine job. They worked hard. It just didn't happen, but I'm really proud of every one of you. So thank you.
I'd like to say all the time we followed the rules.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Every candidate had something in this. Some had advantages, some more than others. This whole thing about unity, it started when everybody voted for one member, one vote. Okay, that's when that started.
Yes.
And
yes.
That wasn't on one group. That was on every individual who took the time to vote for that because that's what they felt was right.
Yes.
Okay, so... anybody want to say, well, my group did this, my group? No, you didn't make the vote. The individuals voted that.
Yes.
And when it comes down to, you know, talk about unity, we've been talking about unity on this show for a long time and what it's going to take. You know, we're all getting older. We're all getting tired of the same thing we talked about. But we're still holding off that hope. Okay? So I get a little disheartened, you know, when somebody comes on here and wants to say, you know, well, so-and-so has a chance to do this. You're not in so-and-so's shoes. They've got decisions to make, and whatever decision is right for that individual, that's what he's going to live with. Whether you agree with it or disagree, that's not up to you. That's up to that individual to make.
And that still can be seen as divisive and not unity when you start singling out people.
That's right.
That's
I want to say one thing, if I could, that this show's always supported. What I will tell you is I'm not telling you which one I'm going to pick, but I'm damn going to sure tell you exercise that right and get off your ass and vote and mail it in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Don't vote, don't bitch.
You don't.
Stopped doing things for the membership. I have a lot of things that a lot of irons in the fire right now from things that I've been requested to do. Just as I'm going to say other individuals have also been doing these things, but we don't go out and tell you everything that we're doing for these members to help them to help themselves.
All right.
It's not a brag thing.
We are
trying to do things for the membership.
Right. And don't forget, we got to give the remind people of the catalog or whatever they can look through to make the order by the 31st. Don't give that $150 away, folks.
Please.
Yeah, Adrian, I'll talk about
it. Get your $150 worth of over-the-counter, they're not necessarily drugs. It's just over-the-counter drugstore or kinds of items.
Right.
And it's brought to you by the UAW Retiree Medical Benefits Trust. You can access them off of the internet by using uawtrust.org/OTC benefit, or you can call them 877-218-9951.
All right. And Miss
Adrian, before the end of the show.
Addressed again later on in the show. Go ahead, guys.
Hey, can I say one other thing for the people that have been trying to contact us? For the brothers and sisters who want to pursue their right to vote and did not get a ballot, you know, or received one after the election due date of the 28th, you can contact Pat and Judy at laws, that's a.a.sws, contact her, or their phone number is area code 269-323-1636, or you can email them at at kimshee97@att.net. Please include your contact information, but in the subject line, put ballot issues. She has got an attorney that is working on this already, and if we can put more people together, it just makes it that much more powerful. And I'm
right.
Sorry to the lady that called. I'm sorry to the lady that got a hold of me today and said she received a ballot this past Friday. I'm appalled. I can't take it.
I got emails from four people that didn't even receive a ballot, and they've called and called and they never got one. So this is good news for them.
Well, may I ask the question, the one I always ask? I just want to put it on record. You got so many days after the official notice of the election that you can appeal, because the statement says if you don't, that could be an issue. But y'all got lawyers. It's 5 days. I want you to understand that it's in the rule. I think it's 9.5 or 9.2. Well, in that section 9, read on down, and you'll see that you have 5 days. So you count the clock right now, okay?
Sharon?
You know
but they better make sure there hasn't been any amendments made.
Well, that, and if they break the rules, can't we? But if they break the rules, can I break that fucking rule?
Well, no.
I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
I'm going to be real frank with you. You say you got a lawyer, so I'll never step in. But the rule says this: is you got 5 days. With the clock
right.
is ticking. And if you don't do it, the rule always also says you get no other chance. Now, your lawyer can fight. But I would you, if you have any intentions of going forward, do your internal process. At least read
all right.
it. That's part of the problem with our members.
Okay, Brian Keller, you're on.
Okay,
and
hello.
89 is on. Go ahead, Brian.
Hello, Brian. Hey, Paul.
Hi.
Yeah.
I just wanted to come on here real quick to talk about me publicly endorsing somebody and why I chose not to publicly endorse somebody. I know there's people on both sides of the aisle. Some people want me to endorse. Some people want me to leave it alone. But I came up with the conclusion that, you know, I don't personally know Ray Curry, and I don't personally know Sean Fain. And I don't want to put my name on somebody that I don't personally know. I don't know if they're going to actually work in the interest of the membership, negotiate in the interest of the membership. And I don't want to put my name on something that I can't guarantee that they're going to perform the way they should for the membership. And, you know, even if they were hypothetically to ask me to, you know, they promised me an appointed position, I can almost bet you I wouldn't even take it, because if they end up screwing up the membership, this next contract, I don't want to be attached to that. And so I'm just going to let them do what they're going to do. The membership spoke, along with the foul play that was going on with the process of this election. Either way, I don't want to be associated with that. So I'm just going to let them, whoever gets selected to be president, I'm just going to let them do their thing. I'm going to leave it up to the membership. We're all grown adults. You guys can decide who you're going to support and why you're going to support them, but I cannot publicly endorse anybody. Now, I'm going to still vote, but I'm not going to tell you who I'm voting for, and I'm not going to publicly endorse anybody. So that's my feelings on that.
And I agree with
pretty
you
smart.
On that.
Right, that's a very smart disposition, I think, because you're not going to alienate your base. I mean, there's some people that were staunchly supporters of reform prior to the election, and they changed their position, allegedly for the promise of some appointed position or some favor on a personal behalf. And you see exactly how they are viewed by the membership and by their people that used to support them. So I think what you did is a really smart thing.
Yeah.
And
really.
What's going to be a real big telltale as to whether or not the members made the right choice is depending on who the party is that is elected. The way that this bargaining convention coming up is conducted, whether or not there is a real Democratic convention, whether or not the resolutions that are in committee that they know the members want, if they are introduced and accepted, then that's going to tell the tale as to whether or not the candidate that was selected is the right person for the job.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if I endorse somebody myself, I'm Don. If I endorse somebody, that doesn't mean the UAW Factory Whistle Show has endorsed that person. I want that clear. Okay?
I agree with that too.
If I say I want Joe or something, that don't mean this show wants this person. So I want to make that perfectly clear before anything. Right, Adrian?
I'm in agreement.
Right.
Just want everybody to vote. And
yeah.
I want you to vote.
Yes,
with,
vote.
We call it intelligence, but
yeah.
Vote with what you think is right.
Right. And yep. And
that's
we
all I can before. Recommend to you.
And we said this before, whether you voted for Brian or anybody, get the vote out. Just vote.
That's right.
Vote for who in the hell you think would be the best leader of this union.
And just one thing else that I want to add, too. There were some rumors going out there that I was supporting Ray Curry and I split the votes and all this. I posted my ballot when I voted. When I was running, I voted for myself, of course, but the majority of the candidates that were on the UAWD group, I also supported. So I just want to put that to rest that I didn't support anybody on the Ray Curry solidarity team.
Amen.
Well, they know that. That was just some noise.
Yeah,
a lot of people like to make noise, okay, and cause all kinds of distinction between the members. Do you really have the members' best interests at heart? Do you really care about the members?
Brian is the Ross.
Do you feel that you're a family? This is the whole thing. Do you really support the Constitution? Those are the things. Not do you get out there and say, I did this. We did this as a group, whatever. Don't always take credit for things that you actually didn't do. You have to realize the membership is the ones that really did it.
Hold on for a minute, Adrian. I think somebody's taping this. You don't have
to
tape
that.
Your it will be in archives if that's what you're doing.
Hey, Don, I'm going to call you back because I keep hearing some pinging in the background, and I don't know if it's my phone or not.
No, it's everywhere, no, Brian.
No, everybody can hear it.
Hang on, Brian. Let me see. 989 at your phone is doing all the clicking. I put you on mute if you want to call back in. 989-280, you're the one that's clicking. When I hear clicking, I get scared. When I get scared, yeah. don't want to scare me. I don't play that game. Okay.
Hello.
No. 989, call back in, and maybe we'll have a clearer phone. Go ahead, guys.
We have to look at what the members want. And, it's not left up to us individually. I mean, because we all have our little quirks and things that we believe in that the next one doesn't. But I really want to make this announcement. I am proud of everyone that has won their race, but I'm even prouder of everyone that decided to run as candidates, because it took a lot of your time, your resources, especially the independents, because they didn't have a lot of, they had to go another way in order to get their donations. So I want to just tell you all how proud I am of you. And don't give up. I know that you won't give up, because you're not the type that'll give up on this membership. And we're going to keep and continue to work for the membership. Thank you for listening.
Yes. I see that numbers are kind of getting dropped off. If you get bumped off, please call back in. I don't know what the hell. This has happened for two nights in a row now. 440, I'm putting you back on. If anybody else drops off, I'll put you back on. Just call back in.
I would like to say something onto the whether or not the candidates ran on a slate or not, whether or not it either advantaged them or somehow gave them something that maybe is required to hold the job, because that's almost discounting David Green's candidacy. And congratulations, Dave, by the way. Great victory. And we expect good things from you.
There you go.
That was it.
That was it.
Okay. Yeah, I can go on forever, but I think that was pretty much it. You know, I mean, just because you ran as an independent, I don't think that somehow you're less than the other candidates.
No.
No, I don't think I'm less. I mean, even though, this is the second time around that I've ran, I've lost two times, one through the delegate system, now one through the direct voting. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't discouraged, because I am discouraged by it. But does it mean that I'm giving up? No, because, we have our futures at stake, and, we have our benefits and wages at stake. And we just got to keep moving forward, and keep pushing along. I mean, something eventually is going to happen that betters this union. What it is at this point, I don't know. But I'm going to go ahead and let these runoffs take place. I'm going to keep a close eye on it. And whoever gets elected, like I said, if they don't produce for the membership come next contract, I truly believe that the membership is going to backlash. And then we'll go from that point on, because I'm just going to sit back and let these candidates do what they said or do what they promised, and we'll see if it gets done or not. Because I think the biggest thing that they're going to focus on is, of course, COLA. They're going to push to get COLA back, and they're going to act like they did something for the membership. But I don't see them getting rid of the tiers. I don't see them getting rid of the tiers by getting them pensions or health care. when they retire. I don't, and I'd be surprised even if they did it to where the temps are rolled over within 90 days. That would surprise me. So we'll see.
I think they're going to do something. I think they're going to work at it. If they work at it, that's what I want. And we're going to push. Listen, just because you're not elected, I've always spoke up. At these conventions, when they vote for those contracts, I'm going to wrap it up here, though. I want to say something. When you at that contract, and everybody in here needs to say no if it's not right. We told them that we don't want tears. That's what we mean. And I'm going to speak out, whether I'm elected or not. We own this thing. We're the owners. We're the membership. It's time to be the boss. You don't give me a good contract, you're going to take it back. All the locals need to do that. And I will be standing up that way if you don't do what you say you're going to do. End of story.
And I agree with you. But when you look at recent history with John Deere and Volvo, they both kept voting the contracts down. The leadership was lying and deceiving and threatening them into ratifying those tentative agreements, and they got passed. So, you know, I don't know if they're going to do it again. I don't know. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see what takes place. But I know that some of the priorities would be to get the temps rolled over within 90 days, get the tier two, get the tier two pensions and health care when they retire, and get an increase in the pensions for those that have it, and a wage increase. Not know where they end up giving two wage increases and two lump sums. We need to get rid of the lump sums and get four wage increases. No more lump sums. Yeah.
I vote for that.
I think, but my other question is, those that are going to be seated, do they have a strategic plan put together to make those things happen?
I think they do. They're just not telling you.
Well, I know. I wouldn't expect them to present that here on the show or social media, but at least they could tell us we do have a strategic plan put together.
Well,
I hope they're not going to wing this.
Guess what? If they those in the runoff and those are not, we start contacting them. They work for us. They work for us.
After December the 12th.
That is correct, December 12th, yep.
They work for us. It's time to let everybody know, the company, everybody, they work for us.
It's time for them to let us, to tell everybody that they work for us.
Speaking, right.
Here,
that's
here.
The word on the street. That's the word on the street. Everybody get ready. I don't have to be elected to speak up, and neither do you.
And stop being afraid.
Thank you, Adrian. I come from back when it was tough, and I like it like that. And we're going to get tough because they're going to know they're representing us. It's not going to be business as usual. You're going to have a rank and file in the middle of the street at the local union, all of you, saying, I almost said a curse word. No. We can't vote for it if it's not right.
I'm going
to
give you guys three.
You need me to say it for you?
I'm going to give you guys three examples. I'm going to give you guys three examples where the membership took a stand. When COVID first hit and we were watching our union brothers and sisters die from COVID, the membership stood up and shut these plants down. That was the first time. The second time we made change was when the membership voted in favor of direct voting. The third time the union may change, is when they replaced the majority of the candidates on the International Executive Board. So it can be done. You guys have proven that already. So there's no reason to stop now. Let's just keep fighting. Let's keep pushing forward, and let's get accomplished what we need to get accomplished, and that's to unify this union and get back what we deserve and get back what we've lost.
May I add to that? There's another one. There's a fourth one also. The members at University of California are standing out right now because the International is backed up of coal language for their agreement, and they refuse to back down to the International. So there's number four.
There you go.
There you go.
So don't tell me what this membership can't do. And we don't want all those bonuses, like Brian said. Say it again, Brian, so we can understand about these bonuses versus giving us higher wages.
They need to eliminate bonuses across the board. We want wage increases.
Here.
And we want
to. And on top of that, they need to eliminate the six-year contracts and the four-year contracts and go back to a three-year contract.
Amen to that. Oh, hell yes.
You don't need to be voted to be a leader to speak on that. This is our union. And you better act like it, because Miss Bell going to be yelling loud. Say it loud. James Powell, say it loud. I'm Powell. Give me my money.
Give my money.
Give me my money.
Y'all didn't know I was a poet. If you take my
convention
resources,
is a huge thing. I mean, it's been mentioned many times during this campaign. Cycle. The bargain is right at the foot of the bargaining convention. All these resolutions are going to get turned back in. Now, depending on who does get elected between the two candidates, one of them ran on the platform that they wanted to give a democratic process to the membership. If in event that man gets elected, that's going to be what's expected. We'll see who is elected and then how the convention is conducted. If your resolutions are still not being heard, then it's time to have a conversation.
The delegates need to do their job. They're going to have responsibility. I'm looking to all delegates. That's why I ran. Now, I didn't win. They won. It's not business as usual, delegates.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about, Ms. Paul. If the delegation is coerced to get the results, then it's the same thing it was before. Right?
They need to be listening to us.
Yeah, well, you know how they do. The decision is made, and they say the membership made the decision. What they're saying by membership, they're talking about the delegates. In the past, you know how that's worked.
Yeah, but we're not going back. We're coming forward. When we got rid of one man, when we got one man, one vote, that means each of us have an opinion. We the rank and file. We're going to organize. That's what I used to
do
at Willow Run. We organize.
So if you
want
to, if it's not business as usual, it will not be conducted the way that it has been. They're going to hear the resolution, and they're going to fight for the things that people want.
Hi, this is Carrie. So I did invite. I did invite and put through the chain for Sean to come on here, Sean Fain, and I asked. I sent it to Scott and Chris. I just am kind of wondering the whole thing of him running is. Just so I can understand.
And Scott.
So I did.
Invited him too.
And Scott. I'm kind of curious.
I invited Mr. Curry and Mr. Fain. Mr. Fain did get back to me. He is tied up. They're doing something with the family. I told him maybe next week. So
what
we'll see about that.
Good. What did Ray
Pardon?
Say? What did Ray say? What did Curry say?
No answer. No answer back.
Okay.
I wouldn't have expected that. I'm just saying.
I'm not going to tell anybody who to vote for, but now that we only have two candidates in this runoff, I think everybody needs to think about what we had, what we got, and what we need to do. So I can't give up my one member, one vote. Because we all fought so hard to get that.
Right.
So I definitely, you know, do I wish my candidate would have ran or would have won? Absolutely, Brian. But, I mean, we're at this point now where that's not the case. So
right.
I'm not going to keep going with what has been in there for the past how many years?
That's the point. Everybody is really upset about the elections process. Now, I would definitely like to argue whether or not Brian had support or what support he did have, because I don't believe that the balloting was correct. However, we are at a juncture where a decision is going to have to be made, and one of the two candidates is going to be seated.
Right.
So then you have to go back to who created and designed and chose the rules for the elections process that everybody is so upset about.
That's correct.
The way the convention was conducted coming into the election, some of the resolutions that, you know, I mean, the delegates actually took the floor at a point. They took control of the agenda of the convention. And later on, the changes that were made and agreed upon by the delegates, the delegates were sent home early. They had to go to work. There was a couple issues that were tabled, and at the very end, when they weren't there, the sitting administration went ahead and reverted the language back. So, I mean, you have to take all these things into consideration. Who put you where you're at, how you got there, the things that have happened through this entire process that you're upset about, and then think about who it is that created that.
Are you referencing the administration that did not want the one member, one vote, and the administration
exactly.
that spoke to the press on the belief that the delegate system works just fine how it is?
Yeah.
Is the current
That's the person.
The ones that
okay.
excluded
yeah, that
the retirees from being able to run?
And that caucus.
Yes, okay.
Well, you know
I'm
what?
Just,
so
okay.
let me get this straight. We're only trying to fight for things that we have actually had at one point.
Yeah.
I mean, we are only trying to fight for the things that we had at one point.
Absolutely.
And I don't care if anybody likes what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it. If
Please.
You
Ooh.
Vote for Curry, you better expect exactly what we've been getting. And I'm not doing that.
And we only
I'm
want back what they promised we would get back when we made concessions, when General Motors and Chrysler made concessions.
All of them made concessions.
But you know what? Ford Motor Company didn't take government money. And the funny thing about this is we accepted what Chrysler and GM took. We still got the tiers. We still got all that. Along with all that.
I also want to make it clear that Ray Curry never held Stewart chairman or president on a local level, and they increased their pensions prior to the convention. He did that.
And then they got a raise at the convention.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that was through the delegates.
Did they turn it down?
Yeah, the delegates.
Did they turn
voted
it down?
Them a raise.
Yeah,
they turned it down. Hell no, they didn't turn it down. Because you know what? they've been piping up saying, we're about reform. No, bitches, you still take and raise it and more pension money.
So I want to ask a question that came to my mind, and it's up to you guys how you feel about it. I work for General Motors, and I love everybody, but I would have liked some representation from all the plants, Ford, Chrysler, and GM. And I'm a little bit concerned there. I don't like clicks, and I don't like, and we got 4 or 5 years. Is anybody concerned about that?
I am concerned.
Huh?
I am concerned that it appears that we have a lot of our newly elected members that are from one entity.
That's my point.
And that's a little bit scary. But
but
we have to see. We just have to wait and see.
But you got to run off. And what I'm thinking, and I want to talk to y'all and see whether I'm thinking wrong. Yeah, you don't want this and you don't want that, but I also don't want another click. So how do you fix that? You got to run off.
But you already have a click, Sharon. And let me explain to you.
Yeah, that's what we're getting rid of.
Yeah, let me explain to you.
Help me.
My point of view on why we already have a click that's going in. And this is not against anyone, but I still want you to understand that we really wanted to get rid of the administration caucus because that is a clique.
Yes.
Okay, so we're switching out one for another.
Because what
we're switching out to is Sean Fain is under his slate is called Members United, right?
Okay.
But the UAWD, who is a caucus, is what's supporting Members United.
And they're all from the same industry. The other ones, how did
well? UAWD is kind of they have different people in there, but still,
we better vote right. And I love everybody, but let me tell you about all of you. You could be my best friend. I don't have no friends. I'm trying to get my job straight. And I'm going to wake this membership up. This is why I'm putting the difficult questions on the table. Now, if you want to go five, you want to create another pyramid of people, we busted the administrative caucus. That's what we wanted, 70, 80 years. Don't create another one. We might have to shake it up. Thought on it.
That's the fear.
Okay, another one, but keep the one in that keeps the membership held down?
No, that's
right,
not what I'm
because I can't go for that. I'm just saying, if you keep what's going on now, don't expect anything different. Than what we've been getting.
You don't have that. We already got new candidates. We got Rick. We got Margaret. We got Hold on now.
But you have to make a better decision on who is the person that's going to run the UAW.
We're running the UAW.
I better not see them.
Tell her, please.
Members are the ones that are supposed to be.
I see it every day.
There you go.
Okay, let her
talk. That's a consideration. What you guys are saying is a consideration, and I've looked at it from a lot of different angles.
And the fact is that primarily Margaret Mock, since she won by the biggest margin, Mike Boost, Rich Boyer, right. LaShawn English, and all these people that you really did support, the ones that you that had, even though everything was going against them, the balloting issues, that enough yes. people turned out to vote for them, I would have to think that you would take the fact, you would have to take their word. That Sean yes. is exactly who he says he is. I mean, I'm not saying he is. Like okay, I said, the convention, the bargaining convention is going to tell a lot of things. But if you stick, so look at the candidates that you did support. In determining who you're going to have as their president, who are they most likely to get results with?
I don't know. But what I do know is you better shake this thing up because ain't going to ever be another click. That click stuff is over. The administrative caucus caused a lot of problems, and they can help people down. I don't care if they listen. That's why they had to go.
And what we're trying to say, we don't want another caucus coming in and getting a stranglehold on our membership, and we're reverting back to something like the administration caucus. Now, you can see what's already going on. If you've been reading news articles, you can already see it.
Thank you. So, that's why I'm talking. I love
yes,
everybody.
And we have to keep our eyes on that. That is, it's
that's
not saying that we want to vote for Curry. That's not saying that. All we are trying to do is to make sure everybody got their eyes open and that they keep their eyes open.
Can anybody see?
That's right.
734,
I'll definitely say this. Versus what I've kept my eyes open on and what could possibly change and watching that alleged caucus or whatever they're doing, I'll take that over what I got now. Because when I watch what's going on in my plant and heard everything, seen a lot of craziness, I'll go ahead and vote for something different.
I will not vote for the Curry. Let me tell you something.
And the candidates should be bound by their campaign commitments. And that's on both sides. On both sides.
I agree.
If you promise certain things during this campaign process, you better deliver it. Because it
no further
than the bargaining convention to know whether or not you're trying to fulfill your promises.
Okay, now, can I jump in?
Hold on.
Hello.
See, I've listened, and everybody's talking about, like, say, people are lined up with one group and cheering or not disagreeing with a lot of what you're saying. But, again, I'm Willie Hall, and I'm from an IPS unit, and I don't hear anybody talking about IPS at all, which I think is a big problem that we have across the whole UAW. And the IPS units, and it's next, and it's going to be how many people can get their people out to vote.
Yeah.
And everybody seems to leave out the IPS units all the time. It's not about the big three anymore. And I'm also going to say this. Our former treasurer, financial secretary.
Okay.
He came from IPS and he's no longer in.
Okay.
But it didn't matter that he came from an IPS unit. So I'm looking at a change to where everyone is inclusive.
Yeah.
And we need to get in the administrative caucus, the caucus, everyone was not included. It didn't matter if you were in the big three.
Agreed.
First off, I like your voice. Good speaker.
Yeah, but I contacted your people over and over, and they didn't even respond. So, and my people went out there. I knocked on your door. So in a way.
But,
I wondered what that was all about.
Sharon,
right now,
at our plant, right now we're in administratorship, okay?
Okay.
For whatever reason, because we're not behind on bills or anything else, and we know it's a power play. So
right.
I can tell you right now, our plant's not going to be supporting Curry, our members. Now, you may have a few out there,
right.
Okay? But neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't look at the IPS units, and I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is, okay? Because no one, I have not seen anyone, and Sharon, with the exception of you, because you did reach out.
I'm about to get down.
Okay? No. Okay?
Sharon,
okay? Hold on. Okay?
Finish.
But no one. Besides Sharon, you did reach out a lot, and you actually stood up when we were all in Detroit and we were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just going to tell everybody right now, stop talking about the big three and talk about everybody, because it's not
Can
just
I
about
make
the big
a
three,
suggestion
because what
to you
guys, you? And hold on, and what you guys have lost, we've never had.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about, we need to get back what we lost, how about getting something that we've never had? So I'm not knocking anybody or taking anything away from anybody. Only thing I'm saying is do not forget about IPS units. Don't forget about those in the healthcare field. Look at everybody. We're all members. Right now, you guys get legal services. And the reason you get legal services is because it comes out of your dues dollars that you pay in, right? We pay in dues dollars, and we don't get legal services. Okay, so you
Where's
understand
your candidate? Presented a candidate. Did anybody run?
Okay.
And that was
going to
be my question.
I would have looked at you guys.
Also, I would like to say I really appreciate and I thank you for coming on to the show and expressing your concerns.
You're here.
That is a lot of the problem. I've spoken on this before. If you don't come and say something, and it's like I got to put my bid in here too. No one does that.
Right.
Okay.
We actually did.
What's actually calling is mostly Stellantis, and General Motors and Ford people. That's mostly who's calling in.
And there's a reason. And so everybody knows, I'm vice president of our local. Okay?
Yes.
So
I've seen some of your writing.
I hear it a lot more than what people think. And I hear it from the other IPS units, okay? So, yeah, do we feel like we have someone out there that's fighting for us? Right now at our plant, we don't feel that there's anyone fighting for us, okay? We're, for some reason, I don't know what it is. We used to be a Ford facility. I could have went to Ford. I decided to stay there, okay?
Right.
But it doesn't matter. I'm still a UAW member.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
And until we are addressed, everyone is addressed the same, then we're going to have those differences. When I listen to what's being said here,
right?
The contract talks next year, and we need to get back what we lost. We're talking about something that we've never had at our facility.
That's right.
So those issues need to be addressed. We don't get short work week. But when Ford shuts down, because we supply F-150, we supply Mustang.
Right.
So when they have a short work week, we have a short work week. We don't get differential. We don't get that.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So these are things that need to be talked about. When you guys start, when you look at how much Ford, Stellantis, and General Motors puts in for your president's pay, simple, basic thing, all right? These are things that are taken for granted at your facilities.
All right.
Our elected officials are paid by dues dollars.
But let me break in for a minute. Hold on. Let me break in for a second. And you, the core people that always come to this show, you know who you are. I'm going to, I want to like your opinion. The UAW factory / IPS unit show. How about a new name? That work?
Something that's all inclusive.
I love
it's
got to be
all
inclusive.
All the
we
sectors.
Also have, you know, we have the
healthcare
graduate unit. We have the
I
casino
can't put all
unit.
There.
See, we've got all these different units.
Well,
but what happens? They don't
job.
Represent themselves on the show.
Well, you're going to have to come up with something then. That's the only thing I can.
Let me tell you, for a moment.
Okay, and that's something I'll work on. I'm gonna tell you, I will work on it. I'm gonna tell you, and there's something that happened a few years ago, and I was with a different facility, and we're IPS, right? And I never will forget the UAW came up with an IPS badge, and it was funny to me. I still got the shirt. It actually has IPS on it, and it's in the logo shape as a UAW.
Okay.
Well, they had a big, there was a big uproar over that. This was under Jimmy Settles. Right?
Ah.
So everybody was like,
oh,
wait
God,
a minute.
Lord help
But the reason they pulled that logo away, because it separated. It showed a separation. And it was actually a smart move to get rid of it, but it showed you the mindset then.
Right.
It was a mindset. It was a mindset because by separating us out, we were no longer a part of the big three, which the IPS units are really not.
That's where I've always told these locals that you must open up your union pages to other locals so we can have dialogue and communicate. And all these locals refuse to do that.
That's right.
And then on top of it, like Adrian said, if you're not going to get involved on these other union pages, this show's been on almost 18 years. And hardly anybody from IPS or GM Subsystems or whatever have come on this show. So you can't expect us to be able to read your guys' minds at your other facilities when we don't know what's going on. You guys have to inform us of what's going on so we can stand together. That's why we should open up all these union pages so we can have dialogue.
I don't even disagree with that, but that's not – but my point of it is, even looking at the people that were on the show, you know that there are other units out there. So, I mean, and I'm not aware – I wasn't aware of this show. Roberta actually turned me on to this show and said, well, you need to listen to this. I didn't even know about this show, but I'm going to make sure our members do. I'm going to make sure our members do because I'm going to share that link. I don't have a problem with that. And I'm not here to point fingers or point blame or anything.
No.
But the only thing I'm saying is please be more inclusive. That's all.
It's a plus.
I'll agree with that.
You being
a part
of the show and coming
understand. Is the IPS plants. A lot of the IPS plants are our old plants anymore. I mean, General Motors, you yourself probably were a GM plant up there at one time, were you not?
No, we're Ford.
No, he said Ford.
Ford. But, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, they spun all – a lot of the IPSs were how they put in, I'm going to call different levels, different tiers of our pay. They spun you guys off and they took away your benefits. They lowered your pay. I came from which is defunct American Axle.
Yeah.
You know, I was with General Motors down in Detroit, and then I chose in 93 to make the application to go back to GM. I got the GM in 95, and my story gets really screwy because I ended up, you know, in Norwood's plant and told him to take a flying F, and I got discharged for 9 years. But, hey, I made it back, but we're all good. But I understand you, and if you would have listened to Brian down at the convention, if you guys even went to the convention, Brian stood outside. We talked to the educational people. We begged them to get on board with us because they ain't getting no respect either, brother. But if you don't come to us, or calling the show, please just bring everybody on board. Let's talk. We're all members. We're all brothers and sisters. And I'm going to disagree, but I'm going to throw this back at you.
I come from a power supplier.
Reach out to you guys. But when you say reach out to you guys, reach out to us also. Let us know that we are welcome. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Let us know that we're welcome.
I believe that we are welcome.
Okay? But a lot of people do not. So what I'm saying to you is, because I'm going to let our people know about this show. I have no problem with that. I didn't know about the show. That's all I'm saying. I'm not pointing blame.
Okay, but this is the thing, Willie, I come from a parts supplier. Nobody talked about parts suppliers. Nobody invited me. I came onto the show many, many years ago because I wanted to make change. There were a lot of people that were not aware of our situation until I came on the show and talked about it. You have to be a voice of your membership. We cannot read minds.
We're fine. I'm fine with that. I'm not pointing
everybody's welcome.
Anybody. I keep saying that. I'm not saying that at all.
Everybody's welcome.
Is, no, I didn't know no. anything. I didn't even know anything about. I didn't know anything about you guys. Is all I'm saying. That's all. I'm not.
We're glad you're here. We are so
excuse
glad
me.
You're here.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
We are so
excuse
glad
me.
You're
yes.
here.
Yes.
This is Jesse. I'm addressing the gentleman that's been speaking to us. Thank you so much for coming on the show, because I'm learning from you too and getting feedback about an area of the industry that I don't know as much about. But as far as telling members in your local about the show, let them know that you've come on the show. Let them know that you're going beyond the local level to raise awareness about IPS as well. That way that will allow them to feel just as comfortable, come on, and strike a conversation where we can all learn more about IPS and the needs, and
mm-hmm.
it'll grow from there, I believe. And if you're not aware, besides the show, there is the Facebook page, which is public, and they can feel free to post IPS-related stuff so we can be in the know-how, and that will also help promote the conversation to be inclusive on the actual radio show, and it's UAW Factory Whistle Facebook page.
Your presence here is very important because it's the future of EV, okay? So, I mean, locally, one of the facilities that they've organized as a battery plant is Tier 3 wages. So it's important that people know. If I'm correct, anybody that was hired, you guys should have gotten transfer rights in 2015, right? So you guys, anybody who's legacy or tier one in your facility is going to eventually get legacy wages, correct?
You're talking about at the IPS?
Yes. If you were already in before 15, you would eventually get the top rate, is that correct?
No. We were taken over by Faurecia. It's a French-owned company.
What is the top rate at that facility?
Wait a minute. Can I ask you this? What local are you at? Are you in Saline?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
892.
I've been there. I went to that plant before it got changed over to Faurecia. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But, like, the maintenance people are still making the wages. I'm injection molding. I am probably $3 short of what it was in 2012. This is 10 years later. So, that
wow.
And this is what – so this is what I'm talking about. And there's a lot of things like that. And I understand, and they spin off. Ford still owns our building. Ford still owns the molds that are in the building. I'm the
Wait a minute. Are you Wait a minute. Are you telling me? Wait. Let me get this straight. Are you telling me that Ford still owns Ferocia?
Ford owns the building.
Michigan. Okay.
The building.
Ford owns the building. And the molds are owned by Ford because of the...
So you're basically... Okay, just finish up. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead, honey.
When I say, the building is owned by Ford. Okay, Ferocia leases the building. All right, from Ford, and we run parts for Ford. We have Dearborn, we have Mustang. We used to supply Canada. We don't have that anymore. And the reason
is it still
Ford
management?
No.
Is it still Ford management managing the facility?
No, it's
no.
Or
but they own the building and the equipment.
Right.
You're
going
to find that
Andy.
Ford couldn't sell the property due to ground contamination. The same thing happened
exactly.
to American Axle.
Yep.
American Axle wanted to buy
because
it.
Because I've
the
seen
union
them out there surveying it.
While the union came in, we didn't want to be sold.
I seen them out there surveying it while I was there.
Well,
but
the
you're
union
telling
didn't want
me Ford Motor Company still owns that property.
You guys got to learn to stop talking over each other and let somebody finish so I can understand what everybody's saying.
All right, so everybody knows Ford owns the property, okay? Ford owns the building. Ford owns the equipment, and I say most of the equipment because Ferocia has brought in some of their own presses for the molds. All the molds that we run for Ford Motor Company are owned by Ford Motor Company, and that's due to patents and things like that. We also run things for Stellantis, and we have a small area or a few molds that we run for General Motors for the Chevy electric vehicle. So, I mean, we definitely supply the big three from that facility, but mostly Ford. So when the company's done and they divide us, yeah, we definitely divide. Like I'm vice president of the local. They gave one area, they actually paid them what would be considered short work week, right? Just one department and didn't do the other departments. So can you imagine the uproar in the plant right now? And now there's an unfair labor charge put in. But now what does it look like? Oh, the union's fighting us because the union's fighting against the union because they gave some union members money, some union members not. We're going through hell at that plant. We're going through hell.
Yeah, but you're not fighting
with
Ford directly.
We've had seven servicing reps in 10 years. Seven out of Region 1A. All right? Nobody wants it. Nobody wants to touch it. It's sad. But this is why when I hear... Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Who's your plant chairman right now?
Kimberly Smith Bass, and she's
okay.
great. She's great.
I mean,
she
did you say
Bass? And...
B-A-S-S, Bass. Okay. Now let me ask you this. Okay, let me do some research on Miss Bass. But I'll tell you something else. I was at that plant when the transfer was going on.
Okay.
What you're saying to me. So I got moved out of the Rossinville plant, went over there. My plant chairman, their plant chairman at the time would have been Commit.
Yeah. Commit.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah. So I got forced out of a labor pool that they said, the UAW said, we thought people that got moved over, it was a holding area is actually what it was for people that were in the gin pool. So we got moved over, and me, myself from Rossinville, and a lot of other plants in that area got moved over to the Saline plant. They told us we were going to go back to our plant.
Yeah, Colleen,
okay?
It's not your home plant.
Now,
yep.
Right, my home plant, right? So during that time, the election was going on.
Yeah.
So the UAW and our plant chairman, Joel Goddard himself, was saying, we're going to put you here, so you're going to come back to your home plant. So we went over to the Saline plant thinking, okay, out of the general, we're going to go back to our home plant. Well, guess what? We didn't wind up to our home plant. We wound up going into a job bank, basically.
Yeah, you were placed and you were displaced and then placed.
Correct.
Yes.
So
I remember. I was there then too.
Me and a lot of other people that was from my plant and other plants to assembly plants like Dearborn Truck. I never bid to go there. They forced me there, and the day I got into orientation, they told me that was my new home plant, that I didn't have any rights back to Rossendale. My home plant.
Excuse me, Don?
I hear it. I don't know who that is. Somebody, if you're not talking, please mute your phone.
And before we took off on all this conversation that we're having right now, Paul was on the line to say something. You know, when Brian came in and it just took off and Paul wasn't able to speak.
And Paul is, I think Paul is gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long is the show running?
Out.
How long
can
is the show
something?
Running for tonight?
Wait a minute. One
and Don.
We'll go to 9 o'clock, okay?
Thank
and
you.
A lot of things to talk about. Okay.
I'm trying to figure out if Ford still owns the equipment in the building, why were me and my people displaced from there and put into a job pool? I'm
but just so there's understanding on it, UAW, the UAW International, as well as Ford, knew they were spinning off the plant, and they spun the plant off. But it was no different than General Motors over in Toledo, the transmission plant. Okay, General Motors still owned everything. They were making transmissions for General Motors. And they just fought different. The union there, the local union, was a little bit smarter than 892. They fought a little bit different, and they kept the same wages, kept the same benefits. Even though it's called Hydromatics, it's still a General Motors plant. Where in our case, we were spun off, and the building is now leased to Faurecia, but we just run parts, and we're not locked into just Ford. We have Stellantis, and we have General Motors. Parts we run through there now. But, yes, mainly we supply Ford for the most part, probably 80%.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's the difference. That's the only difference. But the difference to us as a membership is the contract, okay, because what Ford UAW had, we no longer have, and we didn't go in with it. Example, and I brought this up earlier, was the legal. The legal was actually renting space from our local. It was $2,500 a month.
Wow.
The president's pay was coming 40 hours from the plant. So not only did we lose the $2,500, but dues dollars went to pay the president. Mark
right.
Caruso was the president at that time. Ford employee.
Yep.
Getting paid
yep.
by Ford. Okay.
I know.
Mark Caruso complained. The membership ratified the contract. Mark Caruso was the only one in the leadership that said, hey, guys, you can't do this. This is wrong. It's going to cost you. Company complained to UAW. The president is supposed to be the last person out of the plant. There can be no more Ford employees there. That president has to be the last one to leave. UAW
Where do you think
pulled
Tom
him.
Kmetz went?
He went international before he retired.
Yes,
so,
he did.
Yes, he did.
He did retire.
I thought he retired now.
Let's see. It doesn't
even matter. What I'm saying is Mark Caruso told us at that time we cannot afford what just happened to us with that haul. And UAW International, Jimmy Sells, removed him and placed him in a plant. This is why I was adamant. I'm so happy for the one-for-one vote because of things like that. Okay? So I remember running and saying, I'm not running to go along to get along. And this is what I like about what just happened. It's not saying that, and I mean, I had high hopes for certain people. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about a year ago. I'm not talking about just a couple of months ago. I'm talking about people that are in positions that one is in a runoff, which I won't be supporting. And we're talking about a person that was in a position a year ago. So that's only, I mean, that's, that name is there. No, I have to say it.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't matter.
The thing about it is, exactly.
But I just can't do it. I can't do it. You know,
you can't do it because you're talking to somebody that has been double screwed by that whole system that you're dealing with. But the thing about it is that I know people that now work at your plant that are getting screwed over.
Yeah.
I know people there.
Hey, hey, Don, there's somebody in the switchboard with the number 989. They want to come on.
Thank you.
Yeah, there is. I think that's a quick. Okay, 989, you're on.
Hello? Oh,
hi, just in the conversation, I'm retired General Motors out of Saginaw, Michigan. Went through the Delphi scam. Hello?
I don't know who keeps saying help.
Is it possible to get a word in? I just wanted to make three short points. In response to the thing about the low vote count, that's because local leaders obviously were loyal to Curry, and they knew the membership couldn't stand him or the UAW caucus in general, why they didn't tell people about it. As far as this call to unity that the one person called for, we don't need unity. We've had that for 40 years. It's like going the wrong way down a one-way street. We've been doing that for 40 years. We need more dissension. We need more people willing to speak up. And that's my opinion on that. We don't need to get a click in there and just blindly follow them. And as far as the gentleman from IPF, he said they're not getting representation. Nobody's getting any representation. It's same throughout the UAW. So we've had some lively discussion tonight, and I've enjoyed listening to it, but I just want to get a couple words in there. Thanks.
All right, Robert, you're next.
If you
Excuse, Kerry, there's someone else wants to speak.
Can you guys hear me? Go ahead.
Robert?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, I just want to get in the conversation. I'm retired up here in Saginaw, Michigan. Went through the Delphi scam, but retired under General Motors.
Good.
Can you guys? Okay, I just wanted to let you guys know I'm listening in.
Okay.
Thank you.
What's your name? What's your first name?
Oh, Robert.
Okay, Robert, thanks for calling in. Yeah, listen in, buddy. Anytime you want to chime in, jump in.
I was listening earlier.
I'd like to say, as to what Willie's saying, as far as never having some of the rights and benefits of the core manufacturing as an IPS plant, you're right. There's a lot of stuff you never did have. And there are opportunities and ways that that the International has had that they didn't take advantage of. I mean, the elevated dues that were going in, spilling over into the general fund could have been going to a trust to fund a post-2007 VIVA plan, so that way the new employees would also have medical when they retire. That money was going into the general fund. So
There are other opportunities. There's a way to open up ETAP and TAP educational funds to all the amalgamated. It's just a matter of how to do it. I've had discussion with Margaret Mock just on this topic, and she's got a few ideas. Potentially in the future, that's something that is realistic without having to ask the members for any additional money.
Well, that's an example of why we don't need unity. You have a fresh idea there that would never cross the mind of the people at Solidarity House. We need people to speak up and continue to speak up.
Well, you're never gonna get unity if your lead people in positions are working for the company. You're never gonna have unity. That is not gonna happen because that's not how unity works. But you know, I've worked with a lot of new hires that have no idea what being part of the UAW is about, because they see the worst of the UAW because they're in a position where they're lower wages. Why would you believe something like that?
So how do you go about teaching the younger members and giving them knowledge and showing them or referring them to the Constitution to read it, or even the contract book? How do you go about doing that?
I do tell them, Adrian. And you know what? I have fought for people that have been not getting paid for a month as a new hire. I have fought for those people. But
you fought for them. What did their committee people, what did the elected people do for them?
Do you know what their elected people think on a local level? Well, this is just another complaint. Well, let me see. This is how the locals work.
We're not talking about the local. We're at your unit right now. We're talking about your unit.
I'm talking about my unit. I come from a big unit. You said local,
so that's why
I'm talking about my unit in my local.
Okay.
They say, okay, you got people not even getting paid, right? And I don't care if they're hourlies. I don't care if they're legacy. I don't care if they're new hires. I don't care progressions. You got supervisors that are getting hired in right now that don't even charge hours right. They don't pay people right. That's huge at Local 600.
But what I'm trying to get to is this. You have committee people and bargaining committee people that are in place. If they're not doing their job, they should be brought up on charges and removed from those positions.
Well, you would think. You would think. But if you can't write a grievance against your own union, what are you going to do?
You can always do Article 33. And let me say this. I've got one against our region and our local right now, and I'm vice president of the local. So I could give two Fs about how they feel about me. Regardless of that, going back to what you said, and I'm going to go back, and I think that a lot of times we're not educating our members, and that's as a union.
Yes.
It ought to be standardized across all locals. Teaching material needs to be standardized. So, and I've done orientation, and I've got the videos, and I always use a forward video. I go back to the bridge and the fights and everything that happened in the beginning, right? When they had the big strike, when they were busing people up from the South and the plants, when they were busing black people up from the South. I give them the history.
Right.
I give them the history of the UAW. I give them the history of it.
And when Ford says, okay, well, we're going to keep these people working, and they were in the foundry. I mean, there was a lot of racism things going on and things like that, but it didn't really matter because in the end, they all came together, and they didn't have a choice but to come together because the contract that was negotiated was for all UAW members, regardless if you were male, female. The UAW has a very solid history, a very good history. But see, when you don't know history, when you don't know history, you end up getting exploited, especially at contract talk time. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because if you go back to the beginning, you go back and you learn about the history of the UAW and you learn how strong it was and you understand, and the gentleman talked about this, doesn't need unity, you do need that unity. I'll disagree with that. But the unity, it's more than just all of us coming together. It's all of us coming together for a common cause.
That's okay? Correct.
Okay, it's all of us coming together for a common cause. And if we can do that.
You're here.
I've talked. Let me just show you guys have a little background on me. I was a president of the
NWA. I have a question for Harry and William about IPS.
Okay.
Yeah, we are short on time.
Okay,
so,
go ahead.
We need to allow other people to also speak.
Okay.
So
I'd like to ask a question regarding IPS, and then I also have a suggestion because we are in a show, and many of us that listen to the show are in sectors of the UAW and even maybe other unions where people are listening. So I do have a suggestion when we're talking about how do you educate members. But my first question for Carrie and Will, and point why after I ask a question and you guys are able to answer, are you guys, can you tell us, please, are there any IPS plants that you're aware of in Canada?
Not aware, no.
Carrie?
I'm not aware of any, but I can definitely research that because I'm fired up.
Okay, so please do and bring that back next week. Now, this is the reason I'm asking this. Okay, Unifor has always negotiated national contracts, as long as I can remember, a year after the big three and then whatnot. Well, in 2020, they negotiated
Can I just ask you to explain Unifor?
Unifor is
Canada. So I know, but so people understand.
Unifor used to be the CAW, Canadian Auto Workers, which ended up separating as an entity of the UAW originally. However, Unifor is the current name, and they negotiate with the big three like the UAW does, and they have, as long as I can remember, have negotiated their national contracts the following year after the UAW. That is not going to be the case this upcoming year. That's not going to be the case this upcoming year. In 2020, after the big three with the UAW negotiated their contracts in 2019, in 2020, Unifor negotiated a contract. Their contract with the big three expires 4 days after ours next year. Ours is on September 14th. Theirs is on September 18th. So going forward, if there's IPS plants and you guys are past and current IPS employees, we all need to start reaching out to our counterparts across the border as well, because they're going to be going into their negotiations in the springtime with the big three. And I don't feel that that was by mistake that they went to a three-year contract to line up with ours, because maybe they're tired of the whipsawing between countries. Maybe they're tired of whipsawing done now under our current administration and with the companies. And because you guys are on the show and you guys have firsthand knowledge, experience, and past experience with IPS, no different than us with the UAW and the big three, as well as if we get any guests from higher education, agriculture, agricultural or the aerospace industry, the gaming industry, if we start getting more people on this show that have this knowledge, you know, we can come together and attack the whip sign. That's unity and solidarity.
Correct.
When you have one person on the show, and I have great respect for Paul, and I'm really enjoying the input from Will, but the unity and the solidarity that you and I are talking about on the show, that's for the whole membership. Whether your sector is mentioned in conversation regularly on the show, your sector matters. At the international level, under the caucus administration, long before I was ever a UAW member, their unity is if you are a member of the caucus. Their solidarity is who they put on their damn slate. Their solidarity is not
agreed.
The membership.
Agreed. Agreed.
So the solidarity, using that as a slate name, is because everybody can relate to that word.
Right.
But what is your belief?
That's right. What is your belief?
Not the fact of Unifor negotiating, because their contract expires 4 days after the big three is here with the UAW, but yet they're going to be going into their negotiations in the springtime. We're supposed to do ours.
They did that by reason. This is something they should have never did, because everybody's contract should be coming up at the same point. It shouldn't be pinpointing at everybody individually. That's how they create separation amongst all of us.
Jay, what I was going to tell you is that Unifor never changed the three-year contract. We are the ones that changed. We used to be a three-year contract, and we went to 4 years.
Then in 2020, when Unifor, the three-year contract, how does it line up with our contract then? That's the difference that I see is they have negotiated their contracts for a while, where it's a year after our contracts have already been negotiated, and now it's in line.
Everything will, at some point in time, hook up at the same time, and that's what's happened. Now, I can't remember.
Oh, well, perfect timing.
Yes, this is what happened, because we were, we used to be three-year contracts.
Mm-hmm.
We went into being a four-year contract in either 99 or 2003. Whenever Owen Beaver, he was the one that was in. He was, you know, or either it happened right after him that we went into the four-year contract.
Okay.
But
Thank you for that information.
CAW, because they were 3 year with us.
Owen Beaver is the reason that the CAW left the UAW.
That is correct.
Yep.
He's also the one that denied Jerry Tucker his position.
Yep.
Okay, Adrian and Will, are you still on the line?
But the problem with that is that if you are going to allegedly do a strike, if you got parts suppliers from anywhere around having different times, they're going to get the parts there at those assembly plants or other plants. So it's never going to be consistent. So if you're allegedly going to do a strike, which we always know, there ain't going to be no strike happening under the current administration. Just look at the railroads. I mean, this is a hot train wreck. No,
oh, you're about to
take
me to a different subject.
Well, you going to
nobody right now, nobody right now can actually say, hey, guess what? If I'm a UAW member paying or whatever you belong to, you're not going to be striking because the government or your UAW president's going to step in and say, hey, guess what? No, we're not. Where's our fight left at?
Okay. That's why I brought that up about Unifor and if there's IPS plants, because we know that there's other plants alike to the UAW within the companies, and to start reaching out to each other across the border to communicate, because right now the contracts are slightly different, but this year, as Brian's mentioned many times, this year, with negotiations being lined up between the big three and Unifor and the UAW, this is now a perfect chance to kill the whipsaw. And aside from that, that was the second thing. So I asked about, you know, if there was IPS plants, and then I brought the other thing is William Adrian have brought up, you know, about how you can educate the membership. Well, it can be done at the local level. It can be done at the local level. It can be done at the it can be done at the local level. It can be done on the show. Union meetings and even show. What part of your union meeting or what part of the show can you interject in small teachings each time we're on the show or each union meeting? Can you say, hey, we're going to take an article of the Constitution and read it aloud so everybody's aware? Okay? On the show, read an article of the Constitution so everybody's aware. And on the show, there's more time for dialogue about that particular article and don't stray to 10 other articles to confuse people. Same thing for your contract unit, whether it's your national contract or your local contract. Take a portion of that and do educating each membership meeting. And you know what? For many locals or units, not all, have an education community or committee.
And
utilize
let me just
that.
Say this. If you have a chairman that goes to your local union meetings and stands up there and talks the whole time about some crazy BS and doesn't want to educate the members or says, I'll talk to you after the union meeting when it's not on record, not be recorded, you better think about the person that you elected as your plant chairman.
That is correct.
Well, I like the
because
idea
those
of,
are the worst plant chairmen that doesn't
you
want
can,
to have an open floor.
You can I say something, contribute to this piece?
Yes.
You can. Okay, thank you. Under new business, you can do it, or particularly you can bring it up as a motion to the floor and make the motion, get the support before you make the motion, get somebody to support it, and make sure the people at the meeting is in agreement. And I would also try to communicate with the president of leadership and see if they're not too political. But if they're too political, I would speak to the, if we got an election committee, I mean, an education committee. But bottom line, make a motion, get support, and make it happen. It's a great idea.
And another great idea is, how about every local, no matter where you're at, has a electronic device instead of you voting on anybody in a trash can.
It would be a plus, wouldn't it?
Well, that would be a holy miracle.
Oh, wouldn't it, though?
Yeah.
Because,
Adrian,
you know what?
We're talking
about a day and age where we actually have a lot of money in the UAW, and we could supply every local of wherever they're at with electronic voting systems, but most of the locals make you vote in a trash can. Well, that's not even normal in the year we're in. That doesn't even make any sense.
Tradition.
Yeah, but the tradition isn't working.
Believe it or not, our local actually use electronic.
Honey, I'm one of the biggest. Let me explain. I'm at one of the locals that makes the F-150, and we're still voting in a trash can. Can somebody explain this?
No, and that's real odd.
I can explain
that because
it was asked about getting electronic voting machines at a general council meeting.
It's $50,000.
And the first thing that they jumped up and said, oh, no, it costs too much. And we know that you don't have to own the machines. You can lease the machines or rent the machines for the time of voting, time of election.
That is true.
Exactly. And do you know why most people don't go down and vote? It's because when you're filling your ballot out with a pencil and then putting it in a trash can, it really is the trash can. You know,
you're out of your mind.
Throw it in, throw it out.
Every box I put my UAW vote in has probably a box older than meantime three.
But is that even normal at your own local? It's not even normal.
This is even
a system that your current UAW believes in. That's not normal. In today's day and age, that's not normal. So every local should have the right. I mean, that's just a no-brainer.
Okay.
Well, with us having newly elected reform candidates going into leadership, and hopefully the outcome of the runoff is somebody that says they want reform actually act on it and calls for a new convention, that these are things that are brought up and hammered out, meaning that if there's a new convention called, that it's 100% using union business, what the membership wants and needs, and nothing extra, nothing more, nothing less than union business.
What?
And to address this.
Why should your general counsel have to fight the local to have electronic vote? In 2022, does this make sense? Absolutely not. And I still got a local that keeps going against the general counsel. It's disgusting. And I'm sorry.
Carrie, the best way I can say this is the trash can voting method is straightforward, the result of the continuous stronghold from the caucus. If we get all elected leaders moved for the reform that they claim they want and that they will do for the membership, then maybe we can update with 2022 and the times that we're in.
Yeah, Adrian?
Well, shitball.
Yes.
Why in the hell would you want to vote in a trash can?
Well, that's how we do it. Adrian, tell us.
Oh, you want me to make that announcement?
It makes no sense.
Tell us
about
the... Tell us about the retirees, the $150 they need to spend.
We have, for the retirees, before December the 31st, you must call to get your $150 over-the-counter products. I'm going to give you the website that you can go on, which is UAWtrust.org/OTC benefit, or you can call 877-218-9951. Now, they do have a TTY, which is 771, and I guess that's for, I don't know, is that for hearing impaired or language?
Yeah.
It's for either one. So that is the information for that. Remember,
can
you
repeat
now,
that?
You're on short on time. Only 27 days
that?
Left.
Can you my mother's a retiree. Can you repeat that, please?
Oh, okay. It's UAWtrust.org. /OTC benefit, or
right.
You can call 877-218-9951.
Got it.
Okay. And it's posted. I'll repost it on the Factory Whistle page.
All right.
Thank you. That's what I was going to bring up, Adrian. I was going to ask William if you have Facebook, and you can go on the UAW Factory Whistle Facebook page. And like I said before, that's public, so anything that's posted there is shareable. And
yep.
If you want to put IPS-related stuff, as you let your membership know about the radio show, let them know about the Facebook page, and get stuff out there, we can share it and be in that unity and solidarity so it gets to more people what's really going on. Adrian has posted it. I was going to ask if you can post it again so it's more updated for this evening. And also I was going to ask Jim Mattis if you can post the information that you talked about earlier in the show too, if you can repost that back on the page or just bring it up the page. Membership has that.
Yeah,
right.
We'll be doing that tomorrow because I've shut my computer down for the night. So
right,
I will be doing that tomorrow, first thing tomorrow.
All right, we got about 2 minutes.
I just want to thank the people that came on tonight because we're reaching a broad spectrum. Every time I come on the show, I learn a lot. And Don, thank you, and everybody that comes on. Just keep doing what you're doing. We love that you come on and take that.
Yeah, Robert, it was nice to talk to you tonight.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. My first time in. I'm just kind of learning.
Come on in, baby, baby, baby.
I'll be back. If Brian's in hell here, I'll be back.
Come on.
All right.
Come on, baby.
Oh, look
Don,
out.
Don, I love you.
Oh, God dang. I'll be back. That's my carry.
And I just want to say I appreciate you guys having me, so I appreciate it very much.
Very much.
Thank you. Come back on.
Okay, I'm
back. And we'll let the membership know. Let the membership know that these shows are available after the live show. They are available to listen so they can listen at their own free will.
Right. Jason,
copy that.
Castleman, thank you very much. You're a man. You're the man. Jimmy, on behalf of everybody, Adrian, everybody, thank you for joining the UAW Factory Whistle Show tonight. We'll be back next Sunday night. Join us. live at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you. I really must say, oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night.